Hello, and welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. Each month, I will be bringing you an episode that captures what is happening on the farm in real time. These episodes are all about the work we are focused on, an update of what is doing well and what we are learning, and a reflection on our farming journey at this point. It is February on the farm, and while it is chilly and rainy here on the east coast of Vancouver Island, it is an important time of year for our farm. February is about projects and planning, and I am sharing a little insight into how we plan our crops and why I encourage you to use the same strategy. To start, I love winter. I love this time of year when everything is resting and still. I love the snow and the cold, crisp days. We have even had a few days of sun here, which has been a nice treat. But winter serves many purposes in farming. First of all, the soil needs to rest. And underneath the frosted surface of the ground, there is work being done. The soil and the massive microbiome is preparing to grow food. This is one of the reasons we use no-dig and no-till methods. We don't want to disturb the complex world that is beneath the surface that is essential to producing food. But as farmers, we also need winter. We need to rest, restore, and prepare for the growing season. We need time to do other things, time for our hobbies, time for farm projects and planning. Without winter, we wouldn't have the food that we grow. This February on the farm, we are focused on preparing some systems, improving the greenhouse, and preparing the fields. We are improving our greenhouse irrigation and strategically planning for rainwater storage. My daughters are flower farming again this year, and we are building in some irrigation for that too. The greenhouse is getting more organized. We are putting down new fabric for our paths, cleaning up the weedy edges, and I am organizing my potting bench to be ready for planting season. Having all of my supplies set up and organized in the greenhouse makes for a much more efficient process when we are potting up and transplanting. Our greenhouse is situated in the middle of our fields, so it is a good location for small tools and supplies. We are also preparing the goats' summer forest so we can move them out when the temperatures come up a little bit. They have a little shed that needs a new roof, and the fencing needs some repairs. By the time we move them out to their forest, there will be lots of new green food growing for them. We have had them closer to the house all winter, where they have a forested run and a barn, and they've been warm and cozy in the barn at night and have loved playing in their little forest. There are tree stumps to climb and jump from, and they are enjoying the pumpkins, squash, broccoli, and evergreen branches that we bring them every day. The fields are quite a mess right now. Some still completely underwater. We call it Zucchini Lake. But we have started moving the plastic mulch to the new locations. We use the plastic for a few crops, squash, pumpkins, and some of our brassicas. We are also extending our fields as much as we can. So we are busy putting down plastic mulch to kill back grass and weeds. And there's other spots where we are doing no dig and will cover with cardboard and compost. Our goal is to reduce how much grass we have and reduce the weed growth. Our farm is in the middle of a forest. It is basically one giant blackberry patch. So there's a lot of work to be done. I'm excited about the fields though. They are all kind of a patchwork of odd shapes and sizes. And so we're making it a bit more uniform, which is easier for planting crops and planting and maintaining the grass. We have already started seeds. So we have for our setup, we have a heat table and then other tables with adjustable lights. And this is all in what we call our seed room, which is a little unfinished space attached to the back of the house. The heat table was upgraded last year, and we reorganized and cleaned the space to make it more efficient and easier to work in. We have storage where we have our bins of seeds and all of our seed starting supplies, including stacks of trays. And we have plastic bins under the table with our seed starting mix and other equipment. This is also the room where my two lemon trees are living at the moment. This is their first year, and I have one lemon growing right now. I'm very excited, and I definitely can't wait to have more. But before starting the seeds is the planning. We started our planning in November, and I went back to my notes from last year to help us plan for this year. One thing that is so important is taking good notes. I am a pen and paper kind of person, so I have notebooks for farm notes. I have a section that simply lists start dates for everything, plus transplant dates. I have another section in my notebook that has more detail. What did well? What were trouble areas on the farm? How we dealt with pests? I keep track of when pests show up and when certain weeds show up. I even pay attention to where the weeds show up because this is actually useful information. I could probably do a whole episode on weeds and why I have changed my mind about them and how to manage them. So our planning process starts well before January. It's actually a Boxing Day tradition for us to all sit as a family and read our seed catalogs. Everyone makes suggestions for new things or what we want more of. And then I sit down and catalog all the seeds that we have that are still viable. From there, I will start to work on what our plans look like. We often order seeds before Christmas, the things we know we want and need, as long as they're available. But often the next year's inventory isn't quite ready yet. So we will place many orders over a few months. Our approach to crop planning has evolved into a rather holistic approach. When it comes to how we decide what to grow, how much, and when to grow it, we actually first ask ourselves, what do we love to eat? This might sound basic or obvious, but I mean, really think about the foods you love. What do you love to cook? What kind of food do you love in each season? What are your family favorites? It is important to know how many tomatoes you need to feed your family or how much garlic you will go through. Does everyone hate eggplant? Then don't grow it. That's us, by the way. We don't grow eggplant. None of us like it, so we won't grow it. I can't sell something I don't like. I start with a huge master list of the food I want for us first. That is where I start because as farmers, we feed ourselves first. We need to plan for enough food for us. We love to preserve, so we plan for all of our preserving methods. We plan for our food for winter as much as we can. We freeze, can, dry, dehydrate. My goal this year was to grow all of our green vegetables fresh in the greenhouse throughout the winter, as well as vegetables in the fields, and have our storage vegetables and our preserved food. We have been eating peas, broccoli, cabbage, kale, collards, chard, fresh herbs, rutabaga, radishes, greens, Brussels sprouts, and leeks throughout the winter. We could have even grown more. But we also love to grow herbs for cooking, baking, body care, and teas. So I make a master list of everything we want, and I estimate how much we need. And that is my starting point. Then, looking at our crop rotation and greenhouse layout, I start to plan how much more we can grow for our customers. This year, we are building more growing space, so we're planning on increasing most of our crops. We prioritize what we need to have in the greenhouse, such as our tomatoes, cucumbers, basil, and melons, but we're also planning for peas, beans, more herbs, and lettuce in the greenhouse. Because we're extending some fields, we can accommodate more onions, squash, beans, potatoes, carrots, and tomatillos, one of my favorite crops. Once I map out the fields with the first crops, I start. Then I plan the successive crops. After our broad beans, for example, we will plant the rutabaga. We use about the same amount of space for both crops, so it is perfect. Once the spring greens are done, we will rotate in some summer, more heat-tolerant greens. And starting in July, we will start our fall crops, sometimes interplanting with others. By planning this way, I can maximize our space and prioritize crops that are productive, heat-tolerant, and good sellers. Part of our planning process is we decide how many CSA subscriptions we can do. This year, we are running 3 CSA seasons, spring, summer, and harvest. Last year, we did summer, harvest, and fall. Our CSA, which we call our farm box, has been selling well, and as of today, we have sold out for our spring box, so that's exciting. We are thrilled that more people are buying local food and purchasing directly from farms. We are excited to be growing food for our customers again. Once we decide on the number of subscriptions, that we can estimate how much we will need weekly for the boxes. The remaining produce will go to our farm store, farmers markets, and our farm food products. But I want to come back to that question. What do you love to eat? The reason for this is that you will be able to naturally sell something you love. You will be able to genuinely talk about it with enthusiasm and have a passion for sharing it with people. It will be easy for you to recommend it or talk about how you love to cook with it. Only sell food you love. Only sell food you love to eat. Of course, when we love it and we lose some of the crop, it is truly emotional. But that's okay. It won't all work out perfectly, and that's fine. I would rather be growing something I love that my family enjoys eating, that we celebrate when we taste the first one picked. I want our work to be something we really care about, something we feel strongly about. That is purposeful work. So now, I want to hear from you. Join me on Instagram at A Year on the Farm and send me your messages and comments. I want to know what you love to eat and what you love to grow. Also, if you are enjoying this podcast, I would love for you to leave a rating and review. Those positive ratings help other people find my podcast. And finally, if you know anyone who would enjoy this, please share. I'm really excited about some of the upcoming episodes, and I know that you will really enjoy the folks I am interviewing. Thanks for listening, and remember, beautiful food is in your future. Thank you for listening to A Year on the Farm today. Don't forget, new episodes arrive every Tuesday anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also connect with our community on Instagram at A Year on the Farm and visit our website at gatherfarmandkitchen.com to learn more about our farm and to sign up for our email newsletter. Please remember, beautiful food is in your future.